Hello, this is Larry Goins. How is everybody doing? Hello, hello, hello.
Great. How are you
doing? I'm glad you asked. I'm doing just fine.
Awesome, awesome. Glad to hear everybody on here tonight. Good. Got a good group on here. If this is your first one, congratulations and welcome aboard. We got a lot of stuff going on. I've been talking to students off and on all day, helping them out with their deals, and people got deals going everywhere from cheap, filthy, rich's houses to, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $7,000, $800,000 houses. So let's just jump right in. If it's your first time, it's very casual, it's laid back, it's easy going. I don't mute any lines unless we get a lot of background noise. You know, if you're around a lot of noise, just step into another room or something, or mute your line by hitting *6. So ask, if you don't mind, just ask one question at a time. And, you know, if nobody else has a question, you can jump right back in. Everybody's usually pretty good at that. So some people like to sit back and listen. Some people like to ask a lot of questions. Either way is fine. It's okay. I'll be on here as long as you need. So let's start out, and who has a question you would like to throw out and stump Larry? What, nobody has a question? What's up with that?
Yeah, Larry. This is Ken Izuchiri.
Hey.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad.
Good.
I've been making some bids, about a dozen of them, on eBay. And I've been bidding anywhere between 40 to 60%, and nothing is coming any close.
Okay.
So should I just keep going higher?
Are you bidding on HUD houses?
Yes.
Okay. All right, you're bidding on HUD houses. But let me ask you this. First of all, where are you bidding?
All over Texas.
All over Texas?
Yes.
Okay, how many bids are you submitting?
How many?
Yeah, how many bids have you submitted?
About 11 or 12, I think 12.
Yeah, that's not enough to tell.
That's not enough, okay.
No,
so
not at 40 to 50% of list. No, that's not enough to tell at all. Well, we put in we bid on everything in North and South Carolina every day, and there's just under 100 of each one. So, you know, it's, you know, we hadn't got a deal this week, but we got a couple or three deals last week. But we're putting in 2,000 or 3,000 bids a week, and that's you know, that's bidding on everything. But, you know, of course, if we get one at 30, 35, 40, 45, 50% of list price, you know, it's a great deal, but you got to put in a lot of bids to do that. Now, to answer your question about should you bid higher, it depends. You're not going to bid just because it's a percentage of list, but you're going to bid based on, you know, what are you going to do with the property, and run your numbers just like I showed you and determine what you can pay for it, not what you should to get it accepted, but what can you pay for it and still make the numbers work and make some money. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand.
Excellent.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, so I should just make more bids and see if I get
You're going to have to make more than 11 bids to get an idea. Let me tell you something. If you could make 11 bids and get a house at 40%, I'd be buying about 200 houses a month.
I know.
Right?
Okay.
All right,
hey, Larry,
buddy.
This is Aaron in Dallas. Do you mind if I chime in on that?
What's up, buddy? Go ahead. Yeah.
Hey, I didn't catch the name of whoever asked that question. What was your name?
Kenny Zichiri.
Hey, Kenny. This is Aaron in Dallas. We're making bids on every house in Texas every day. Which is somewhere around 140 bids a day. And we've been having a lot of challenges too, and we're putting in bids over 50%. So that's just the market right now in Texas at least. So just to give you some feedback on that, just wanted to let you know where we were and what kind of results we're getting.
over 50%, you said?
Yes, sir. We're a little over 50. We've had some counters get close, but for a lot of our criteria, that's where we have to be. We've got some accepted, but I had to toss them back.
Oh, okay.
And these guys know what they're doing, too, and they're in the Texas market, and they're active investors doing deals, and so they're good. What part of Texas are you in, Kent? Kenny, what part of Texas are you in?
I'm sorry, Fort Worth.
Fort Worth, okay. They're right close to you. They're in the DFW area also.
Yeah.
You guys can swap information if you want to.
That would be great.
Tell them how to reach you.
Kenny, 817-733-9896.
Great. Did you get that, Aaron?
I just pulled out a pen now. Do you mind repeating that, Kenny?
Yes. 817-733-9896.
Thank you.
Excellent. Good. All right. Maybe there's some synergy there you guys can do there in the area. Awesome. Well, who else has a question? Anybody have a question about any deals you're working on? Anything you need help with?
I got a whopper of a question, Larry, if you're ready for it.
Yeah, man.
All right. I told you I'd save this one for tonight. Wanted to have a crowd. I know how you like to perform under pressure.
Let's go for it.
All right. So here's the scoop. I think I brought it up a month or two ago. Found a house with a squatter in it. Got it worked out. I actually got a buyer for it. We got the seller to sign the contract. I signed the contract. We're going to make $3,000 closing today. And
wholesaling it.
Correct. Got a buyer on the hook for $30,000. I have a contract with the seller for $27,000. Quick $3,000 bucks.
Okay.
2 weeks.
Good.
Did title search. Everything looked good. A couple grass mowing liens, nothing major. Come to find out that this lady who has been occupying the property is pretty darn savvy. She's a paralegal, and she basically called us and said, "You're not taking my house. It's my house," even though she's trespassing. She broke in and is illegally occupying it. She's now making things really difficult for us, and she's filed this adverse possession on the property, basically clouding the title and making it really hard for us to get anything done here. I'm not even sure what we can do at this point now that she's filed this adverse possession thing and put a cloud on the title. Talked to the sellers and, you know, pretty much told them, look, I don't really know if there's much I can do to help you right now. You're going to have to hire an attorney and, you know, get a court order, get a judge to remove this all from the title, but then she can just keep filing liens and doing stuff, you know. So my question would be, and I've talked to a couple other people about it, is this one of those things where you just pack your bags and move on, or should I try to fight this and try to still find a solution for these sellers? Because they're stuck right now, and they're not going to get anything.
Well, let me ask you a question, okay? Let me ask you a question. Now, is the lady really a squatter? So she just broke in, moved in there, right?
She broke in, moved in, and recently turned on the water and piggybacked the electrical.
She did what to the electrical?
She's like snagging it off the neighbor's line, like spliced into the neighbors.
Did they know it?
The neighbors, of course.
Oh, so the neighbors are letting her use their power.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So why would the neighbors
do that? I told you it would be a good one.
No. Well, I'm just trying to find out the details. Why would the neighbors let her use power? Do they think she owns it?
Yeah, she's told everyone that she owns it. The house has been vacant for like 4 years. We really don't know how long she's occupied the property. It was boarded up, and it's a duplex.
Uh-huh.
The other side's still boarded up, but they ripped the boards off of this side and moved on in, and now they're calling it their property.
Okay.
And, you know, I spoke with this lady on the phone on Friday. I had
uh-huh.
a candid conversation with her and tried to keep the fire down a little bit low and be professional.
Right.
But she called me a lot of names and was very mean, and I said, listen, lady, you're stealing this house, and you know it. Stop trying to do the wrong thing here. Do the right thing. Move out and go find your own place.
Okay. All right. So is she really kind of living there? And I'm just trying to get a feel so I know exactly how to answer this, okay? Because I already got a few ideas for you. Is this lady kind of living there on the down low, or is she like, you know, she's got a vehicle, she's keeping the grass cut, she's, you know, she's keeping the property up, you know what I mean?
Great question. I'm glad you asked. So, allegedly, she's been living there for some time. Now, based on the evidence that I have from my own personal witnessing and from the account of my partner, the other investor who wants to buy it, no one's ever seen any woman in the house or anywhere near it. There's only been this one guy and the car parked in the driveway. We haven't seen her or any trace of her anywhere near the property.
Uh-huh.
But the house appears to be like, you know, they're not trying to sneak around. They got the front door open and there's a car in the driveway. Like,
right.
They, you know, they're showing the message that they own the place.
Okay. So who's the guy involved?
Don't know who that is.
Okay. All right. So couple of things. You're picking it up for 27 and you've got it sold for 30, correct?
Yep, got it sold and got a deposit. But I just gave him his deposit back today since we couldn't get clear title.
Oh, okay. Man, I wish you would have talked to me before you did that. All right.
Nah, he'd be back. If we can get title cleared up, he's back. He just needs his money to go do other deals.
All right, good. So does your seller own it free and clear?
Yeah, minus a couple of mowing liens.
Okay, how much are the mowing liens?
A few $100.
Okay, good. All right, so now first of all, I'm not an attorney. I don't know Texas law about adverse possession, okay? But adverse possession is where somebody moves in a property that appears to be abandoned and then they try to take it over and become the owner, get it deeded to them by a term called adverse possession, okay? But
right.
This guy owns the property, okay? And you said it was boarded up, correct?
Yeah, it's vacant. He secured the property, had the place boarded up, and he's been paying taxes on it. It's current.
Okay, so he has not abandoned it. You know, he has not abandoned it because he's paying the taxes on it. He had it boarded up, but she broke in, okay? She broke in, and now she's claiming this. So what he needs to do is find, and what you could do is maybe you could help him because he, you know, if he's just selling it to you, trying to get it out off his hands, you know, he may just not want to deal with it. So you might have to say, hey, look, I'll help you with this, but you're going to have to reduce the price by whatever the legal fees cost to get this straightened out. Or
right.
You're going to have to pay the legal fees out of the proceeds, correct? You
correct.
Okay, good. So what you ought to do, contact an attorney that is familiar with adverse possession, okay? That's familiar. You know, Scott may know something about it. I don't know. Have you reached out to him at all about it?
I'm not very happy with Scott right now, but no.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, find some local real estate attorney, you know, maybe even a real estate litigator, okay? So, and what you want to do is you want a couple of things. You want to be able to get some kind of a written proof through a title search or a certified letter or something showing, and this is just me thinking out loud as to what you're going to do and the process, because there's several things in here what I'm getting ready to tell you that you could do, okay? If you could get something from an attorney that says this guy owns a property, he's been keeping it up, he's paid the taxes, he secured the property, and this person has fraudulently filed an adverse possession claim for no apparent reason, and the neighbor is aiding and abetting them. by providing power to them. So you're going to take that to the neighbor and have the neighbor pull the plug, okay? That's the first thing you're going to do. And then you're going to have the attorney serve her with a lawsuit unless she removes the lien.
I like where you're going, but bear in mind one thing, and I mentioned it early on. She's a paralegal, and she told me that, and she works in this law office where I don't have any evidence, but I have the suspicion that they're aiding her in this process. She has the resources of this crooked law firm behind her helping her file all this shit and try to steal the house. I do, and
okay.
I just from basic research, it kind of looks like a shady operation.
Well, then here's what you're going to do. You're going to have your attorney send them a letter stating that one of their employees is committing fraud and representing their firm and committing fraud, and the attorney's going to contact the Bar Association if she doesn't remove the lien from this property that she's placed on there fraudulently. That's another angle.
Yeah, that's an idea.
That's another angle to go at.
Yep, okay.
Does the property have code violations?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I really didn't get that close to the house just because of the situation.
I would look that up, and if the property does have code violations where it is not habitable, then you can have the city remove her as well. And then you also need to file eviction or have the owner or if you can, you're probably going to have to get something in the owner's name letting the owner allow you to represent him in clearing this up. Otherwise, nobody's going to talk to you.
Right, and that was my decision-making process. Is all this nonsense worth it for a $3,000 assignment fee when I can be spending my time doing other things?
Well, that wasn't the question you asked me. I answered the question you asked me.
To be fair, yes, you did. That's fair.
But, because I wasn't going to let you stump me, right, first of all.
Right.
But.
Depends how much time you got.
At the end of the day, you know, here's what you could do, okay? Here's what you could do. You could go to the attorney and find out, what's all this stuff going to cost? What are my chances of you being able to get this lady off of here, get her out, and what's all this going to cost me? Okay? And if the attorney tells you, hey, I guarantee you I can get it done, it's going to cost you $5,000, okay? But I guarantee you I can get it done. So that means you need to be paying $22,000 for this house, right?
I follow you.
Okay. So now you go back to the guy and say, the attorney tells me it's going to take thousands of dollars to get this done, okay? However, he can get it done. So what we can do, if you'd like, is, you know, you and I can work this together. If you pay the attorney fees, I'll do the legwork. Or if you would like for me to take my chances, I'll give you $10,000 today and I'll deal with it. Now you turned a $13,000 deal into a $25,000 deal.
Yep.
That makes sense?
Yeah, I don't think he'd go for it, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Does he have money to pay for legal fees and deal with all that, or is he just wanting to get out?
He's got like a brother who's an attorney, and they've been dealing with this stuff for like over a year, and that's the reason he wanted to sell it. He lives 5 hours away. And
wait a minute, they've been dealing with
–
he's got a brother that's an attorney, and they've been dealing with this lady for a year?
Well, you know what they call the attorney who graduates last in his class from law school, right?
What's that?
Attorney. So I'm not saying that, but, you know, there's some great ones out there and there's some duds. So
that's absolutely true. It's just like there's good and bad in everything. And, you know, but, you know, a person who's listening to their brother-in-law or their brother because they're getting free legal advice might not be the best advice they need to be getting.
True, very true.
Right? So, you know, it could be the brother's just helping him out in his spare time, and the other guy's not motivated enough or doesn't care enough or doesn't know what to do and doesn't want to hurt his brother's feelings. you know, but his brother is slacking on, you know, helping him get it taken care of. So it might be worth a shot. But I would talk to an attorney or two and find out what the probability is of getting them out of there. There's got to be, I mean, the guy owns the property. Somebody can't just take over a property. If a person has secured it and they're paying the taxes on it, they have not abandoned it, okay? They haven't abandoned it. So I don't see where the lady's got a claim unless I'm missing something about Texas-specific adverse possession law.
No, and I think you're right. I spent about 12 hours researching and reading that specific statute and all those laws, and I don't think she has a claim either. But I was just trying to weigh investing any more time and energy in it. I was doing it more for the educational process because I know I'm going to run across it again in the future. And I'd be willing to go through it all just to learn.
Right, right. I get it. I totally get it. But I think the play here, instead of trying to deal with all this junk and make $3,000, is to try to turn a $3,000 deal into a $20,000 deal.
Yeah, I just want to find a way to destroy this lady now because it's personal. It wasn't how it is. Some of the things she said to me on the phone, I was keeping it real. I was keeping it professional with her, and she said some very malicious and hateful things to me and my family, and that crosses the line.
Well, listen, the guy still owns the house. She might have a cloud on the title and trying to get possession, but the guy still owns it. He could go over there and take the doors off the house. He could go over there and unhook the electrical. He could go over there and pull the toilets out of the house. He could do whatever. It's his house still, right?
Yeah, in this neighborhood, you're going to want body armor and at least 10 other guys.
Really? Well, send the local gang over there to take care of it.
Oh, they're already there. They might live there.
That's a joke, by the way. Don't anybody take me serious.
All right, enough with it. I didn't want to get everybody tangled up, but that's the kind of nonsense.
That's okay, man. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. You know, that's the closest anyone's come to stumping me lately.
All right, well, I'll have to put some effort into it next time.
I'm telling you, man, you guys come up with some deals, man. I don't know where you get all this stuff, but you guys come up with some deals.
Yeah, we should write a book.
Yeah, you need to start making notes of all these deals. I know about 3 or 4 of them myself that you guys have done that could go
for
in
real.
That book. That's funny. Realtors trying to take your deals out from under you, all kind of stuff.
Larry, we've had like one smooth closing out of the last 7.
Really?
Yeah, I think God's just like making it super hard for us. So that, like, any other deal we come across, we can be like, oh, that's a piece of cake.
Yeah. Smooth closing is an oxymoron. There is no such thing as a smooth closing. All right, good. I hope I could help. I hope that gives you some good ideas. So let me know what happens with it, okay?
I will. And if nothing else works, I'm going to tell them they're going to talk to Larry if they don't cooperate.
Yeah, you just throw my name out there, okay?
All right.
Just throw my name out there. Do you know who you're messing with? That's funny. All right, who else got a question?
I got one, Larry. This is Ruth and Bill in Columbia. How are you?
Hey.
We have a current tenant, been there, I don't know, 3 years, pays fabulously on time, every month like clockwork. Wants to buy the home. How do we do the, you know, how do we get them to give the down payment, you know what I mean?
So you're wanting to go from tenant to a land contract, is that what you're wanting to do?
Yeah, I just assume he can buy this home. This would be one I'm more than happy to sell because it's built in the late 70s. It's in a mushy zone, you know, not a flood zone, but a mushy zone. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right.
It's a big home, 2,200 square feet, gets great rent. But, you know, eventually it's going to, you know, it's not going to sell high. And since this man is interested in buying it, how do we do the deal to where it works for us too?
Well, if you're going to go from tenant to lender, then I would suggest that you get a reasonable down payment from the person. Otherwise, since they pay like clockwork, there's no reason at all to even sell it to them because they're already paying you, right? Especially if you're going to sell it to them and you're going to finance it. There's no reason to do that unless they're going to pay you, you know, a big down payment, right?
I don't see that. So what would be a good, you know, fair payment, like a percentage of the home? The rent, it rents to $1,300, but that doesn't probably tell you anything, you know.
What's the house worth?
$160,000 maybe.
And what did you tell them that you would sell it to them for?
I haven't gotten that far.
Okay, so I'd tell them like $179,900 or $189,900 or something, okay?
Okay.
And,
yeah, it might go for that. It really might, you know.
And tell them, well, you want to, when you're seller financing, you want to get as much as you can,
right?
Right.
Yeah,
now,
that's why we haven't gone further, because why should we sell a good paying tenant home and get no incentive out of it?
Exactly.
Right?
And I'm not sure why it is you want to sell it. You said something about the value is going to go down. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is in the area already.
Okay. Okay.
And it's going to go, worse.
And you've had this house for a long time, if I remember right, correct?
This one probably 5-6 years.
Okay. And what do you have in it?
Okay. It's $100,000. It's paid for.
You got $100,000. It's free and clear, right?
Right. Big taxes on it.
Say that again.
Big property taxes on it.
Big property taxes.
$4,000 a year.
$4,000.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's
okay.
Big home, big ranch, brick, and they added it's got all kinds of upgrades. We did a lot of stuff to it to take care of the moisture issue. So we've invested a lot in it, you know. So it's probably got 100, 110 in it, but nothing since they've been in it. And they're excellent about telling us when there's any problems. So I don't know. The only incentive I see selling it is not going to go up in value.
Well, if it's worth 160 and I have 100 in it, you know, even as long as it doesn't drop below 100, I couldn't see how you'd get hurt.
Okay, just hang on to it then?
Well, you could. Now, if you wanted to sell it, to them, I'd have them put some money down and just ask them, you know, do you have a retirement plan? Do you have anything that you could cash in? Cash value of a life insurance policy, or you have a 401k or a retirement account, or anybody that could loan you the money, or you have anything you could sell to get the money. You got any, you know, boats, motorcycles, guns, gold, silver, you know, whatever. You know, if
okay.
they're paying $1,300 a month, they're bound to have some kind of asset somewhere, I would think.
Yeah. Well, and they think that the income that they make is good income. Both of them work, and I'm not sure why they're living in this big home. I think there's just three of them.
It's probably just easier for them to stay there than it is to move.
Yeah, you're right. And it's a good school area, a good location to certain places around the city, and that's a big deal, you know.
That's good. But if you couldn't get a reasonable down payment, like 10% down, you know, $18,000 or so, you know, $15,000 or so, I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
I mean, because they're paying you like it's not a. See, if you told me it was a problem property, I would be telling you a different answer.
Right. That's why we were like, do we do it or not? You know.
Well, see, now you're still getting the tax benefits from it.
Well, that's definitely true.
You're going to lose the tax benefits if you sell or finance it.
That's right. Okay. All right. Well, that's a good question. If they don't have the 10%, we just are good to become long-term landlords.
There you go. Just tell them $179.9 or $189.9 with 10% down, and you'll finance the balance for 20 years or whatever. But if they can't do that, then we'll just keep doing what we've been doing.
Okay. They're the only ones that have ever lived in it either.
Really?
Yeah.
Since you've had it.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Wow.
And Bill bought it off the foreclosure.com or whatever it is.
Yeah. Have you raised the rent any?
Yeah.
Yes. They have. I built into the lease. The tenants that are still under the lease is, anyway, I raised the rent built into the lease.
Uh-huh.
There's a clause that every year it goes up a certain percent.
Good. Yeah, you guys know what you're doing. That's good.
Okay. It's just, we were just unsure about this one because we know eventually it's not going to be worth anything.
Right.
So I guess it's better to just sit on it and see, because I don't believe they'll be able to come up with 10%. That's a lot.
Yeah, but, you know, if it was a problem property, I would be telling you a different answer, but it's not a problem property. If you're worried about losing the equity, I mean, you've been renting it out for 5 years already, right?
Right.
So
yes.
You've already collected $60,000 if it was $1,000 a month at 5 years.
Well, that's a good point, so we might as well just hang on to it.
Yeah, I mean, so you got, you know, I don't know what you started out. How long has it been $1,300 a month?
Probably the last year.
The last year?
And it's gone up. You know, each year it's gone up.
Yeah. Well, it probably started out at least $1,000, right?
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember exactly, but it's always had a built-in percentage increase.
Uh-huh. Well, they've probably already paid you somewhere between – they've probably already paid you somewhere between $65,000 and $75,000. So you probably only got about $25,000, $30,000 in that.
That's right. You have to look at it from a different angle, don't you?
Plus, you've got the tax benefits from it. It helps you zero out on your taxes every year, right?
Yes, it sure does.
So if you sell or finance it, you're going to lose that. You'll be able to take the installment sale, but you're going to lose that depreciation.
Okay, we don't. In that house, we don't need to lose depreciation on that one. You're right. Okay. I think we'll hang on to it. Thanks for let me bouncing it off you because, you know, you're always not sure. There's so many factors with this house.
Even if it goes down,
and
here's another little thing to add to it. Even if it goes down in value some, let's say, you know, in another, well, you've only owned it, what, 5 years?
About 5.5 years.
Okay. Well, you got a long time to go before you run out of depreciation. But if you run out of depreciation, you could always sell it and do a 1031 tax-deferred exchange and buy, you know, two properties to replace it or something.
Right.
Okay.
Well, thanks for letting me bounce that off you to make sure we were thinking right, and we are. Thanks.
No problem at all. I'm glad I could help.
Always.
Awesome. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry, this is Elizabeth, and going off the last caller's comments about having something built into the lease where every year it automatically goes up, like what's a good percentage that you could put for that number?
I'm going to let them tell you what they do. Would you mind, guys?
Well, I really hate to say this, but I have spent a lot of time and a lot of legal work preparing this lease. And I really don't want to divulge everything about my lease. I guess that's kind of, you know, maybe I shouldn't answer it like that. But
well, no, listen, that's okay. I understand. Just tell them what percentage you increase your rent every year. That's all. That's all she asked.
Oh, 3 to 5.
3 to 5%.
Depends on the house.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. So, yeah, if you do something, a reasonable amount like that, that's not going to force a person to move out. If they're going to move out for 3 to 5%, I mean, think about that on $1,000 a month rent, right?
Yeah.
On $1,000 a month rent, 10% is $100. So 3 to 5 is going to be $30 to $50 a month. That's not
a big
deal.
We've had nobody move out with that clause. And
that's good.
Oh.
We've had like one tenant and been in the house for a long time, but I wrote him a letter, and of course he didn't have that built in because I didn't have, wasn't that experienced. And he's been probably in the house 15 years. And I finally just wrote him a letter and up the rent. But that's a lot harder to do than already have it built in the lease.
That's true. That's
yeah,
true. You're better
it's
off.
It's kind of hard to mail a letter. Hey, dude, your rent's going up $50 next month.
Right.
Here you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm sorry
you've
been in there 15 years, but too bad.
I know.
That's true.
Yeah,
all right,
the
good.
Taxes are go up.
Yeah. That is true. You can always appeal those taxes, though. Try to get that tax value lowered.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Do you guys?
Yeah, we do that. Yeah.
Do you guys do a cost segregation on your properties?
No.
Oh.
What is that?
A cost segregation is where it's also called componentizing, where you can separate the items out in the house, like landscaping, electrical, plumbing, fixtures, carpeting, and they are depreciated at different rates. And like some are depreciated at 5 years, some 10 years, some 15 years. And instead of depreciating the whole house over, what is it, 27 years or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, 27.
27 and a half or 27.
Yeah.
Instead of doing that, you know, a portion of it is 27, and then some of it is 15, some of it is 10, and some of it's 5 years. So you get a lot more depreciation in a shorter period of time. But
it just speeds up the depreciation.
Right. It speeds it up. It's accelerated depreciation. You're absolutely right. But most of the ones you guys have already owned for like 5 years, you know, you're probably not going to see a whole lot of difference in that. If you've already owned them for 5 years, you'll see a little bit in the 10 and 15 year amortized depreciation. But you know, if you've had it for a while, it probably is not worth changing it up. But on any new properties you buy, you might want to think about doing that.
Well, we're not trying to buy any new rentals. They would become a flop instead of a flip. It'd be okay, you know, because we would buy the flip in the area that we should flip. But
right.
If it does, then we call those a flop at this point. We don't want any more rentals.
Okay. That's good.
I mean,
that's
I like
good.
Rentals. I just don't want any more.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Well, hey, you know, you guys are doing just fine with the ones you got.
That's right. Okay.
Have you been out RVing lately?
No, we're heading the end of the month.
You're leaving
and
the end of the month?
Yep, for about a week. And then we're going the end of May to Florida for a while.
Well, good for you.
Yep, right, that RV's
good.
Been sitting out there blowing the horn for us to come on. Let's go.
And the good news is the rent checks keep coming in.
Yeah.
Every month.
Yep.
There
we
you
got
go.
All that fixed out to an easy process for traveling.
There you
and,
go.
You know, getting it done.
That's the reason you get into real estate right there.
Exactly, and it's been perfect for it.
That's
you can
awesome.
Carry your printer, your laptop, you know, right in your RV.
That's good. You got everything you need right there. You
yeah,
can even park in a parking lot up in Lake Wylie.
You know,
Somebody
that
open invitation.
That is an open invitation. You guys come back anytime.
You gotta plug in.
That's good.
You're funny.
That's good. Well, thanks a lot for sharing that, guys. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Sure.
Awesome. So, anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, Dave Mamet. How's it going?
Dave, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Good. You probably didn't get enough of me, and here I am calling you back again.
Oh, that's all right, man. It's all good. It's all good.
I just called to say hi, really.
Well, I'm glad
but,
you did. I'm glad
I do have
did.
A couple HUD questions. They're simple questions, yes and no. Do you? Is there a certain time of the day that you submit your HUD offers, or does it matter?
Well, I don't know that it matters. They do have to be in by 11:59:59.
Yeah.
However, our girl comes in about 5 p.m. Eastern time, which is, I think it's like five or six in the morning her time. But
yeah.
But she comes in, our girl comes in, you know, and starts putting them in about 5 p.m. Eastern. And she works about 3 hours a day.
Because the reason I say that is because I used to put them in, my VA would come in at like at 5 o'clock in the morning and put the offers in.
Uh-huh.
Then I'd get phone calls and say, how come you're putting an offer in if you already got an offer? I'm like, because I'm just putting an offer in. Because I know you. So they would tell me, like, you know, don't put an offer until after 12 p.m. or something, you know.
Oh, because you
after
put
they,
one in
after
yesterday.
They looked at it. Yeah.
Well, that's because, you know, usually if you get a bid accepted, you're going to hear from them by around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So,
oh, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay.
Yeah, you know, typically around 3 o'clock. So I would suggest put your offers in at least after that because they probably hadn't opened them up from the previous day yet.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah, and I say open them up. It's all on the computer. You know, it's automated. But
yeah, okay,
good.
And
I
then another help. Quick, yeah, definitely. Another just quick question. You know how we talked about last week? You know what contract to use. What would you recommend for like a for sale by owner? You know, if we're dealing with an agent, you said just have the agent fill out the contract and sell it and send it over to sign.
You're talking about for buying through an agent?
Yeah. Well, if I'm buying but there's no agent, it's just a for sale by owner. I have this guy in Illinois that I picked up last week at your event. I asked him if he had a contract. He said, yeah, I got a contract we could use.
Well, it sounds like he's got 20 or 30 or 40, and he buys a bunch of bulk stuff. So, personally, I wouldn't
yeah.
get his contract. It's going to be weighted toward his side.
Gotcha.
What I would do I were you is either use your own contract to buy, which there's one on your flash drive, or
yep.
Just use an Illinois state-approved agreement, like all the realtors.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
well, actually, the bulk ones are in Indiana. He just sent me another list of ones in Cleveland, too. So
uh-huh.
he sent me another 20 in Cleveland. So
uh-huh.
he's got me busy.
That's good. Did you get all your HUD bids going in Georgia?
Yes, it took a little while. There was 80 of them today.
So you're making bids on every HUD house in Georgia every day now?
Yep.
Good. Did you get New York set up?
Not yet. She hasn't called me back, but...
Yeah, you might have to find another agent up there.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's good. Well, maybe you'll get something worked out with these. Did you get some... did you put some bids in on some of those auction properties?
I have, and I was going to look. I was doing a little bit of catch today because I was gone so much last week, but I'm going to do that here probably tomorrow.
Good.
Look at them a little bit closer.
Yeah, that's good. Well, good. Let me know if I can help you with any of that stuff, okay?
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, good. Good.
Yeah.
I hope you get something out of that guy in Illinois, too. He seemed like a pretty good contact.
Yeah. He seems a little, he seems legit, but he's not real professional, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. He sounds like just like one of the good old boys, you know what I mean? Just,
yeah.
It's what he does. It's not a business. It's just what he does, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but
yeah, he doesn't sound like he has that much cash to play with, but I guess so. I don't know.
Well, you would think that if he's buying and selling that many, you would think he has some cash, but who knows?
Yeah. I'll definitely keep you posted.
Anytime somebody tells me they have no money, the first question I say is, how much is no money? Some people think if you don't have $5, you got no money. Some other people think if you don't have $50,000, you know, that's no money.
You know
what I mean?
Sure.
So it's all relative.
Gotcha.
Yeah, good. Well, good. I hope that helped.
Okay. Definitely.
Awesome.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Oh, sure. Okay. Anytime. Anytime. I'm glad you're on here. Good. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, I got another one. It's Aaron.
Sure.
I was just wondering if you had much experience with, or if anyone in the group is doing any virtual deals, you know, any joint ventures and co-wholesaling and doing things in other markets.
I know I got some students that are doing some virtual wholesaling, you know, a lot of them actually, and I had one on Facebook just the other day, did one, but and posted it on there. But
that Sarah?
Do what?
Was it Sarah?
No.
In California?
No. Okay. Did you say Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it might have been her.
She did a deal in Alabama?
Yeah, and she lives in California. It might have been her. There was somebody else posted one recently, too. I can't remember who it is. Anyway, yeah, there's a lot of them out there doing virtual wholesaling, but I don't know so much about co-wholesaling. I don't know if there's many people doing that. It is a good viable way to either you find the property and let somebody else sell it, or you find somebody with a property that doesn't know how to sell it and you go sell it for them. Either way.
Well, I guess let me rephrase that. I'm pretty well networked with buyers all over the country in just about every major market, and just wanted to know if people would be open to working together if they're having trouble.
Go on,
for their
go on my Facebook group and go on all those. I mean, I know you guys joined a lot of the same Facebook groups that I did for real estate. I'm a member of 200 or 300 Facebook groups.
Yep.
I just don't have the time to post on them like I need to. And I don't have anybody to post on them right now. But
no, we've done a lot.
Yeah, I noticed that. I noticed that.
We've
you guys
a lot
are
of
rocking
deals
it.
Off of Facebook.
You got a VA doing that?
I'm doing most of it, but we hired someone to teach us how to do all the Facebook analytics and marketing and lead ads and all that stuff.
That's good. Did you hire a local person to do it or what?
No, he's out of New York, but he knows the game. And
that's good. Are you getting some good stuff out of it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we bought a property in Greenville, Texas, $38,000, no money down. Seller financed it to us for 4% for 10 years, and we're selling it on a wrap. We're getting a $10,000 down payment, and we're getting a net cash flow of about $300 a month.
So you made $10,000 now, and you're making $3,600 a year cash flow.
Correct, off of a free Facebook ad.
That's rich. Did it come from a Facebook group?
I've just done some of the posts I've been doing and some of the copy I've been writing.
That's awesome, man. That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
But I can do that in other markets, and I've been experimenting with it, and I've been helping some of my friends and some other investor partners get leads in their markets because I have a system for doing it. I know how to track it now.
Really?
I know how to get some seller engagement.
I might have to get you on a training or something and teach me.
Yeah, maybe.
And maybe.
Well, I got to up my wardrobe if I'm going to get on a Goins training.
Nah, you don't have to deal with that. You don't have to worry about that. You're good to go.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're way more GQ than I am.
I'm more like QG.
I'm more like LG. That's funny. So Gabriel couldn't make it tonight.
It's his birthday, so his family's out there doing the obligatory cultural celebration.
The obligatory cultural celebration. That's
well, you're only born one day. It's not your actual birthday. It's the celebration of the day you were born. You're
the
born
obligatory
on the day you were born.
Cultural celebration. I'm going to use that. I like that.
I don't know. We don't want to go down a rabbit hole on this call, but I'm over all this stupid things we do in this society.
I hear you. I know. I've heard you mention multiple things like that. That's good. That's good. Oh, wow. All right, I better see if anybody else have a question. Anybody have a question? All right, going once, going twice. Well, guys, thanks a lot for being on here. I appreciate it. Appreciate your business. Glad you guys are out there rocking it. Shoot me an email if you need any help between now and the next couple of weeks, or give me a call. You all got my number. You got my digits. Just hit me up, and I'll see you on the next biweekly obligatory Inner Circle call.
Voluntary. Voluntary.
Obligatory.
All right. Everybody have a good night.
Good night.
Thanks. See you later.
All right. Thanks.
Bye, guys.